Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. You have figured out a great way to avoid these starting lineup questions. If you get somebody hurt or there's the specter of somebody not playing, you can just throw up your hands every night. This is brilliant. Brad Stevens brilliance.
In theory, everyone should be on the probable list until they go through warm-ups, right? Who knows? And so, yeah, so that would be one way to cure this. But, you know, I do think it's fun to banter about it. So I guess we've got to talk about it. I can't wait for the question one time when somebody says, what's your lineup going to be with 3 minutes left in the second? You know, I just think that obviously, and I know why, obviously we've got to make sure we cover all those bases and people have a job to do. So I understand.
What's your lineup going to be with 3 minutes left in the second?
No clue.
Okay, we'll see. That's why nobody asks.
We have to find out if Al's available. We don't know yet.
I thought the other night, Max and I have been talking about, and it's funny you bring up 3 minutes left in the second, because there are segments of the game, and for all the starting lineup business that we're joking about, there are segments of the game, and it seems like fielding the right lineup for the, we'll call it 12 segments given the commercial breaks just for the sake of breaking it up, but have you found more comfort in the 12 segments of the game or whatever we're calling the segments of the game with the lineups that you want to play now?
Well, I think by the time you get to the end of the season, you're really comfortable. And you're finding that as you go through the season. But it's not just about, again, who starts, who ends. Again, as you mentioned, there's 12 different segments per se. But I really also pay attention to the start of quarters and end of quarters, because I think that, you know, the way that you can separate yourself if you get the last possession of a quarter and score or go for 2 for 1 and then you get the ball to start the second or third, like those are times where you can really make great headway in the game. So I think that you're looking at all those things and making sure you have lineups that can score and defend on the court at once. And I think that what we've gotten to with this group that's starting the game is you've got a couple of guys that really hang their hat on, you know, the defensive end of the floor, Smart obviously being the one that everybody talks about. And then you've got, you know, with our second unit, guys that are proven scorers that if we can put them in better positions than we did at the start of the year, you know, we can score a little bit better. And that's what's been happening recently.
We talked to Jalen after the game the other night. Max and I both were sort of watching him play after having a little time away, that sometimes it's more than physical. You know, having time away to see, remember why you were playing well the previous year, how you fit in. And almost from the first possession, he looked far more at ease. Forget the success he had. He just looked at ease from the minute he stepped on the floor.
Well, I will say this. He was probably on the Atlanta-Dallas portion of the trip, one of our best players in those two games. So he was playing that way before he got flipped on his back in Dallas and had the injury. But I don't think it ever hurts to, you know, take a step back or really look at it through a different lens. You know, I think that's why people always talk about there's great value in redshirting. There's great value in being a young guy that isn't playing as much as you're learning. But there's a lot of ways to improve. There's a lot of ways to get better, and there's a lot of ways to see the game. And I think that Jalen certainly was noticed that we were playing well in his absence. And I thought he just added to that by soaring with his strengths when he came back.
It was a great question. You know, I pride myself on originality in this segment, but I don't mind stealing stuff when I see something good. I think it was Tom Haverstraw, one of the NBA guys. This was bouncing around the NBA interwebs yesterday, asking the question. We often see you coaches after the game, and you got this stern post-game press conference look, and they hand you a box score, and you guys just sort of look at it so you don't have to actually face the media, and you're kind of so. But his question was that he asked to different coaches at any level, what's the first thing you are looking for when you get handed the box score at the end of the game? What's the first thing?
Minutes.
For your day, how many minutes everybody played?
Because you're managing not only that game, but the course of an 82-game season to prepare for, you know, in hopes that you get to play beyond and to make sure that guys aren't being overused, overworked. And then sometimes you look at it like in New Orleans, I looked at it and there was, you know, Smart had played 20 minutes and 41 seconds in the first half. And I would like to say that was by design, but I made a mistake taking Terry out too early. And so that was just a good reminder, like, boy, you need to be on top of that. You can rotate those guys differently now that Smart is starting than when they were coming off the bench together.
So if I had asked you that night, what was your lineup with 3 minutes to go in the second quarter, you would have gotten it wrong.
probably.
I would have gotten it. No, because it's already happened. So I would have gotten it right because it's a fact.
Like off it. Yeah, well played. The Bulls played last night. They played well. Sort of, you know, crazy young, but obviously crazy talented. And there was, you know, we've seen a few of these teams now where they have 2 days between games, and they look like that team, particularly in the first half against a really good defensive team last night.
Really good defensive team. And obviously anytime there's a coaching change, I think you get an initial kind of there's newness. There's new emphases. You know, they had a couple of practice days that they talked about how hard they went. They played well against Indiana. And barely got beat there. And then last night I thought they played great against an Oklahoma City team that had really been rolling. And it's just proof that, you know, every single night in this league, you better play your best. And when you don't play your best, you don't win.
This machine that you've been in for 6 years, it just rolls on. Next day, next flight, next game. But I want to give you a chance to talk about Fred Hoiberg because I know he's someone you have a great deal of respect for. That the machine just, again, it moves on. But Fred Hoiberg put in a lot of time and a lot of years here for this team.
Yeah, I mean, and I've known Fred. I watched Fred play with the Pacers during that great run. He was Reggie Miller's backup and then got a chance to know him when he was the head coach at Iowa State. In fact, our kids played together at the Final Four on courts at the Hilton in Atlanta. And so I've known him for a long time. I really like him. And as I said today, it's none of our business what organizations choose to do. And obviously you get into coaching knowing that there's an expiration date for all of us. And at the same time, should he choose to get back in at any level, he'd be a guy that you'd want your kids to play for. Great guy, great person, treats people right. And, you know, I think whenever your time is done, you know, I think that's the most important thing that people can say about you. And so he should walk away with his head held high. And wherever his next opportunity goes, he'll have success.
That's the last word. Celtics and Bulls next on the WROR Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.